Tonight, I want us to look at, I don't know if you'd call this a follow-up lesson to what we looked at this morning. Not really in one sense, but in another sense it is, in that at least it's connected. And we're going to look at three images tonight from Scripture which are descriptive of the Word of God. And those three images are a light, a knife, and seed. Three images that Scripture uses to refer to the Word of God. And I hope that in some way this will encourage you in your efforts to get into the Word, as we talked about this morning, and going to follow that up next week with another lesson on maybe how to do that in a way that will not just let you read the words on the page, but try to listen to what the Lord of Scripture is saying to you. It's not just about reading Scripture, but listening to the one who gave us the Scripture, right? Jesus said, you read these words looking for eternal life, and you can't even see the one standing in front of you who has the words of life. So it's not just the words on this page that are important, but the one who gave us the words, he's the one we really want to connect with. So we'll talk more about that next Sunday morning. Tonight, there are many images throughout Scripture which are descriptive of this thing, I guess, we call the Bible. I'm still a print person. I like to have a book open in front of me, although I do have an app on my cell phone that lets me read the Bible, and when I'm not where I have this at my disposal, I can read the Word from my cell phone, and many of you may do that as well. But I do like having an open book in front of me, and this is still the world's best-selling book, I believe, the Bible, what we call the Word of God. Often referred to as the Good Book, collection of 66 letters or books, as we sometimes call them, covering thousands of years, written by many different authors in different languages, different types of literature, poetry, prophecy, narrative, personal letters, speeches, stories, and so on. Still recognized by many as the greatest piece of literature ever produced, but we know it's more than that, that this is the Word of God, that God is speaking to us, revealing Himself to us through these words, through the pages of our Bibles that we carry around with us. So tonight we just want to spend a couple of moments looking at two or three words that are descriptive of Scripture. I referenced this passage this morning, Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. Part of that psalm, what we call verse 105, reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." When I was a young boy growing up out in the distinguished community of Kirksey, I remember particularly in the springtime and summertime of the year when storms would roll through, it was very easy for the power to go off. And when that would happen, obviously, our house would grow dark. And so it would be necessary for my mom to bring out the candles so that we could see to get around in the house at night and not trip over furniture that was in the way or knock something over and break it. Any of you have memories like that when the power would go off a little easier than it does now? Now we live in town and advances have been made and it's not quite as easy for the power to go off now as it was 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, I guess. It would thunder and the power would go off sometimes for, you know, an hour or two, or it might stay off for several hours until someone could flip a switch somewhere or do something to get it to come back on. We still have occasion, though, for the power to go off. Even today, the ice storm of a few years ago knocked out power all over the county, and a couple of wind storms have come through and knocked power out for a few hours, and even still today, we may have occasion to break out a candle or two, or more likely, a flashlight Or some of you may even now have generators that you go and flip a switch and crank up a generator and bring all the lights back on. When the psalmist wrote this psalm, they didn't have flashlights, though, or generators. They had lamps fueled with oil. But whether it's provided by a candle, an oil lamp, a flashlight, a generator, a power plant, whatever the source of light may be, when it's dark, light is very helpful. Even in a house that you've grown up in, when the lights go out and it's dark, you can easily get turned around and think you're farther away from a wall or closer to a chair than you may actually be. And so a light is a very convenient thing, very needed thing to have. And if you happen to be outside in the woods on a moonless, starless night without a source of light, then things can get dicey and dangerous in a hurry. John, you've been on a number of Boy Scout campouts over the years. Trying to walk around out in the middle of the woods without some source of light can be a dangerous thing to do. You can end up in a briar patch. You can end up walking next to a cliff, possibly even walking over the edge of that cliff without a source of light to illumine the path and make it possible to see. That's what light does. Light dispels darkness. It lights up the path that we're walking on, makes the way much easier, makes it much easier to travel and navigate through an otherwise challenging terrain. The psalmist compares the Word of God to a lamp, to a light. As a light or a lamp is capable of illuminating the path before us and dispelling the darkness and the danger at hand, so too the Word of God lights up the darkness. It lights up the way and removes the darkness from our path. It gives direction and guidance to our lives. It points out that which may not be what it should be or needs to be in our lives and shows us the way to go. Many carpet cleaning businesses today offer a service for those who own pets. And to show potential customers their need for the service, those who provide this carpet cleaning service for pet owners will go into a particular room and turn on a certain kind of light. It's actually a black light. And it causes all of the pet stains to glow brightly in the dark. One homeowner was so horrified at what the light revealed, she instructed the carpet cleaner to turn off the light, saying, "I can't bear to see anymore. I don't care what it costs, just clean it up." And another lady said, "I'll never be comfortable again until I get a new carpet." That light had a way of illuminating the problem that existed in that household in such a way that something could be done about it. And in a like fashion, the Word of God has a way of illuminating the darkness that is around us, sometimes even the darkness that is within us. It has a way of revealing the stain of sin that is sometime in our life, the sin of gossip or lust or greed or unforgiveness or bitterness or a critical, grumbling spirit. And when we're willing to listen, when we're willing to turn on the light and let it shine its light into the dark recesses of our heart, then we can see maybe where something needs to be removed, something needs to be addressed, something needs to be changed. If God could shine His light into your heart tonight, what would He see? What would need to be cleaned up and removed? The Word opens us up to that possibility, doesn't it? It opens us up to the darkness, not just the darkness that's out there, but sometimes the darkness that's in here that needs to be removed, that needs to be dealt with and extinguished. The Word of God is a light. It's a lamp. It illumines the way. It dispels the darkness. It shows us where we need to go, how we need to travel, what we need to do to stay on the path that's marked out before us. The Word of God is also referred to in Scripture as a knife. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Not long after we were married, I noticed one day a lump right here in the middle of my chest. And I wasn't too concerned about it, but Dana lost a father and a brother to cancer when she was very young, a child of 5 years old, lost her father, then a couple years later lost her brother. And so that's always been a concern for her in her life. And so once she saw me piddling with this little knot there and knew that there was something there, she said, "You've got to go get that checked out." So I made an appointment with old Doc Lowry. How many of you remember Doc Lowry? All right, you'll appreciate this. If you ever went to see Doc Lowry, I went to see him, and he kind of piddled with it and poked it around. So I don't think it's anything but a calcium deposit, but I tell you what, we'll cut it out just to be safe. So he gave me a shot. But Doc Lowry was a little rough. He wasn't real patient, apparently. And before that thing had time to really get dead, he started slicing on that little knot. Now, I couldn't feel it. It didn't hurt, I should say that, but I could feel the blade tugging at my skin as he was cutting open the little skin there to take out that little knot. So he didn't quite let it get completely dead. And about halfway through the procedure, I think that's just a calcium deposit. And he turned over to Dana and he said, "Here, come here, I want you to look at this. I want you to see what I'm doing." And so Dana comes over there doing what the doctor told her to do, and she looks at it, and her face turned as white as a sheet. And for a moment, I thought she was going to pass out on her feet, just right there in the office floor. Well, he gets embarrassed because he's obviously put her in a compromising situation. She's white as a sheet, about to throw up and about to pass out. And so for the rest of the time we're there, he's more concerned about her than he is me. You know, I'm the one that's being cut on here, but you're paying far more attention to her than you are to me. Well, in the end, the knot proved to be what he thought it was, nothing more than just a harmless calcium deposit, and was perfectly harmless. But the only way to know that for sure was to take a scalpel and cut it out. Had it been a malignant tumor of some sort, cutting it out of my body would have been one of the first things that would have been done to try and address the problem. Scripture's kind of like that. It's kind of like that knife that penetrates into our spirit and brings to light, brings to our knowledge, brings to our awareness issues that need to be dealt with, attitudes that need to be changed, priorities that need to be realigned, relationships that need to be repaired, sin that needs to be repented of, commitments that need to be made and kept. When we start getting into this, and not just reading the words, it's more than just, okay, I'm going to read a chapter every day, and then I'm going to be done. It's more than, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good place to start, good habit to be in. But it's not just a matter of getting through a certain passage, and then moving on to the next one. It's about letting the God of the universe speak to us, and it's about us listening to Him. It's about us letting Him use this or whatever other means He can use to get into our consciousness, our heart, where He can begin to work and move and remove things that don't need to be there, and put those things that do need to be there in place. Word of God is like a knife. If we'll let it, it'll root out those things that don't need to be in our heart, in our lives, make us better. And you're familiar with this image. The Word of God is like seed. Matthew and the Gospel of Mark talk about the seed of the sower. The sower goes out and sows his seed. And Jesus says the Word of God is the seed. The sower is sowing the Word, the seed, the Word of God. And like seed that a farmer might sow, the Word of God, when it's proclaimed, when it's preached, when it's spoken, when it's read, it finds its way into a number of different kinds of hearts. And some are hard and closed and really not very open to what God is trying to say and tell us. And so it can't penetrate and it doesn't change us. And some hearts are shallow and they do pretty good until something goes wrong or it gets hard or something happens in life that we didn't expect or that we didn't want, and all of a sudden we're giving up. And some hearts are like that. They're kind of shallow. And some hearts are divided. Some hearts are like the soil that has a mixture of dirt and weeds and thorns, and so the harvest is never really quite as productive as it should be because it's competing with so much other stuff that the good can't really get out. And some hearts are kind of like that spiritually. They're divided. They're trying to ride the fence, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And because of that, the seed, the Word, has a hard time really producing the crop that it could if the heart was undivided. And then there are the hearts that are open, that are receptive to God, that want more of God in their life and more of His Word in their life. And Scripture says when the Word of God finds that kind of heart, something good's going to happen. Some fruit is going to be produced that is good and glorious. I'll ask you again tonight a question I asked this morning. How's your heart? Sometimes it gets hard and crusty and stale and calloused. And we get kind of closed off to God. And sometimes we get kind of shallow. And sometimes we're divided. But hopefully, we're receptive to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, moving in, setting up shop, and beginning a work of transformation in our lives. How's your heart tonight? Is it receptive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, or is it struggling? I'll come back to a statement I made this morning. It's not my statement. I actually read it recently over Christmas in an older book by Max Lucado, that like water is to the dehydrated body, so the Word of God is to the dehydrated heart. We need an injection of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the water of life to refresh and replenish our heart when it's not where it should be. So may you find the refreshment that you need to replenish and restore your heart to a soft, pliable, open condition tonight so that God can work in and through you to affect the good that He wants to accomplish in your life and in this community. May the Word of God illuminate the path as we journey through life. May the Word of God cut out that which does not need to be in our life, and may the Word of God find a receptive heart where it can produce wonderful fruit in our lives. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.